We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Dan Summers! Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
Okay, from the kitchen once again, of course, it is good evening to you and how you be at 10:03 on a Monday evening on your Fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there on the other side of the kitchen at 345 Hudson. Mr. Paulie Rosenberg, and no, from the 1-877-337-6666, and of course, another two-hour schmooze right up until Sal Licata and Sal coming your way at midnight right here on your Fan, New York City. And coming your way right now, a pleasure to welcome for a couple of minutes Eric Boland. He covers the New York Yankees for Newsday. And Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Steve. How are you doing? It's been a very long time since we last spoke.
Well, it's hard to get guests. Even you, we were ashamed to ask at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but nonetheless, it is a pleasure to have you on at this time. And look
pleasure
forward.
Is mine.
Oh, thanks, Eric. That's appreciated. And listen, we look forward to having you on, you know, as many times as we can without disturbing your peace of mind, that's for sure. The Yankees, all the numbers are bad, and everyone knows and has read and has heard and has seen the numbers, the lowest batting average after 15 games since 68, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Not hitting, not scoring runs. A team, Eric, as you know, that hits home runs and strikes out a lot, and one out of those two is not going to get it done. What can be done if you were Cashman, if you were the front office, if you were Boone? What can you do to turn things around right now?
Well, Steve, I mean, it's not as simplistic as having a team meeting and firing up the troops. I mean, I always get a kick out of it. This is my 13th year covering the Yankees, and I actually tweeted about a week or so ago when the Yankees were, you know, on their way to yet another loss, and I tweeted something to the extent of, can't wait for the next breathlessly reported Yankees have a team meeting story, which is, you know, everybody refocused and on a common goal and here we go. You know, that stuff's all nonsense. We've all been covering sports long enough to know that the team meetings don't turn teams around, for the most part. By and large, there are exceptions, but mostly it's junk. You know, look, I go back to something I remember Mark Teixeira, who was a notoriously slow starter in his career, used to say when he'd get off to yet another bad start in April, and he would say, look at the back of my baseball card, the numbers are going to be there. And his point was, if you looked at the back of his baseball card, he had, you know, 8 straight seasons, I believe it was, where he had 30 home runs, 100 mm-hmm. runs batted in, no matter how bad mm-hmm. his Aprils might be. Mm-hmm. And with the Yankees, you just have to look at the back of a lot of these guys' baseball cards and believe that all of these guys who are slumping all at the same time, for the most part, are at some point going to get going. They're not going to all get going at once, but, you know, 3, 4, 5 of them get going, and a lot of these games turn out a lot differently than they had been. But, you know, in terms of some kind of a quick fix, when you're looking at a roster with the kind of players that you have, a lot of them with really good resumes who are just off to terrible starts, I'm not sure there's really anything that you can do other than a tweak here and there. You want to drop Aaron Hicks in the batting order, fine. You want to move somebody up, fine. But I'm not sure that there's some kind of, not to draw Rich Kotite into things, but I'm not sure there's a cookbook answer to this one.
Yeah, no, I know. I that's a tough question that has no answer at the moment, although what you are talking about does have some frame of reference to it, because we have seen this before, and it is only 15 games. No place had to go but up. Now, let me ask you this. We're talking to Eric Bolin of Newsday, covers the Yankees, has for a long, long time, as you just heard. Bottom line, Eric, is it going to get better at shortstop? Is it going to get better with catcher? Is it going to get better with injuries? Now, of course, we're not talking about a lot of injuries. I mean, obviously, Luke Voit is not around. Zach Britton is not around. Is it going to get better with Kluber? Is it going to get better with Taillon? Because if you look at the back of those two baseball cards, Kluber and Taillon, you don't see much to get excited about.
Well, you do if you look at the last time, you know, they had full healthy seasons, which for both of them was 2018. And Kluber in particular obviously has a pretty impressive back of the baseball card, which includes two Cy Youngs. But, you know, he hasn't had a full healthy season since 2018, same as Taillon. And both of those guys' innings are being monitored very closely. You know, they're going to be skipped here and there. And, you know, neither one of them is going to get anywhere close, even if they stay healthy the whole season. I wouldn't imagine the Yankees would push them anything close to 200 innings. I'm not even sure you'd even see 180 out of either one of them. But, you know, look, I mean, you just have to believe, and the Yankees certainly believe, you know, that given proper time for these guys to be built up, and if they have healthy seasons, that their numbers are going to be somewhat reflective of what they've been in the past when they've been healthy. But look, Steven, you know this, and you know, anybody that's followed the Yankees even on a casual basis knows going into spring training, probably the number one question about this team was the rotation after Gerrit Cole. And a lot of those questions, you know, applied to the two guys that you just mentioned, which was, you know, how much can you really count on two guys that have had the health concerns for a variety of reasons that they've had that have limited them so much in the last couple of seasons? And was it really a good idea to let Masahiro Tanaka go without really even making him an offer, which is what the Yankees did, because their number one priority was re-signing DJ LeMahieu, and that certainly is a legitimate criticism to levy at the Yankees. You know, but I don't think that those questions, you know, can be answered 2.5-3 weeks into the season. And by all accounts, even though the stuff has not been necessarily terrific from either one of those guys, you talk to opposing team scouts that follow the Yankees, and their job is to find holes in what the Yankees are doing, and certainly are not. You know, they're not embarrassed to share those opinions. I actually think the stuff looks, you know, decent to good at times for both of those guys in terms of velocity and the crispness and stuff. Just the consistency, you know, hasn't been there. I still think, and I'm not underselling the horrendous start that the Yankees are off to here, because it is a horrendous start any way you slice it. I still think you have to come back to the fact that it is 15 games out of 162, and no matter how much import that we want to put into that, and how many conclusions that we want to draw from it, you just can't do it with 15 out of 162.
Yeah, and you are being reasonable, you're being sensible, and, of course, you're being rational. But we all know how emotion, you know, plays into this with Yankee fans. And we also know that players, you know, it becomes a habit. We haven't seen much life, much energy, much urgency. They really look like dead men walking for the first 15 games. So you wonder, you know, who is going to be the one to help turn things around. It doesn't seem like even after Boone had that team meeting, and you're right about everything you were saying about team meetings. It says that after the loss, he has a team meeting after the loss on Friday. They lose the next two games. You would think at least if you could have a team meeting, do it before cold pitches, where maybe you have a better chance of, you know, coming off as a little bit of a person that is doing his job, motivating and inspiring his team to play better baseball. But again, with shortstop, and again with Sanchez behind the plate. Again, if you look at recently, and what have you done for us recently? You know, they're not good at what they do defensively, and then they're not hitting. And you may get, you know, Torres to start hitting the baseball, and maybe we'll see some hitting, some driving the baseball, and producing some runs from Sanchez. But at the moment, it really is a continuation of a problem that was last year with their defense.
Sure, and you know what? I to me, Steve, when I look at this team, the most concerning aspect for me is the haphazard way that they play defense. And that didn't start this year. And again, opposing team scouts whose job, you know, they are assigned to cover the Yankees from top to bottom in the system. I've talked to quite a few of them in the last week or so. And one of the things that a couple of them said to me is not only does it not seem like defense has made a huge priority at the big league level, they don't see it in the system either. Which is an interesting perspective, obviously, that I wouldn't see. I don't cover the minor leagues, you know, the way that the opposing team scouts do. It does seem that, you know, and when you watch, let's say, the Yankees play the Rays or even play the Blue Jays, the mistakes the Yankees make defensively on a regular basis, you don't see those teams make. Now, I don't see the Rays other than when they play the Yankees. I don't see the Blue Jays other than when they play the Yankees. I don't see some of the other teams that are considered good defensive teams other than when they play the Yankees. But when they play the Yankees, I don't see a lot of those errors that you see the Yankees making on a regular basis. And that did not, as you mentioned, just start this year. I would say the Yankees have been an average to below average defensive team for a few years running now. And to me, you know, I believe this team is going to hit. We've seen the bullpen's been, that's been the one aspect of this team that's been terrific so far this year. I think the rotation behind Cole is going to fall into a rhythm at some point. I think they're going to be okay. But you know, there's the old cliche about, you know, defense never goes into a slump or shouldn't go into a slump. Well, defense has been in a slump for this franchise now for a few years running. And that is one area that, you know, would be the most, if I was a Yankees fan, that I would be the most concerned about, because I'm not sure that's something that automatically with a snap of a finger, you know, you talk about when a team isn't hitting, one big hit can get a whole lineup going sometimes. One big game by everyone in the lineup can get, you know, guys going again. I'm not so sure that happens on the defensive side of the ball. And you know, Gary Sanchez, I have to say, I think is the least of this team's problems when it comes to defense right now.
Mm-hmm. And Frazier in left field, I mean, was yearning to be the everyday starting left fielder. And what is it, Eric? And we're talking with Eric Boland of Newsday, covers the Yankees. Eric, I mean, Frazier has no RBIs in 40 plate appearances. Is that true?
Well, the numbers don't lie, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's won for his last 20. Everyone has won for their last 24. So as you pointed out earlier, it's collective. It's the entire team in a slump. And here is Frazier, who doesn't look any more confident in the batter's box, striking out a lot like everyone else does. So the Yankees, a home run hitting team, and they're not doing a lot of that, and they are a strikeout team, and they are doing too much of that. And again, you would like to think that if you're Boone, you know that, let's face it already, that certainly from Friday night with the team meeting, that hasn't worked on Saturday and Sunday. So, I mean, do you think, Eric, that the players are looking at each other, or are they looking at themselves in the mirror, as they say, to turn things around?
You know, I think that, you know, and Brian Cashman he talked today on a Zoom call with reporters who covered the team. And, you know, he flat out said that he believes, and I'm paraphrasing somewhat, but that the guys are putting pressure on themselves and pressing a little bit, you know, trying to get it all back at once. And it seems like the entire lineup is doing that. But, you know, I would imagine part of Boone's message, and obviously we were not in the clubhouse for whatever he said in that team meeting, but I would imagine that it was some form of what has been said in every big team meeting that's been happened in professional sports in its history, which is he probably said something to the extent of, look, we have the talent in the room to win games. You know, it's all in here. Let's go do it. And I think that, you know, it was interesting when Cashman said that he does believe that the, you know, guys are pressing a little bit at the plate because, when everyone is slumping, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody probably takes on a little bit more of the burden, each time up and they're, you know, going outside the zone and doing things that they normally wouldn't do. But, you know, the home run or bust thing that the Yankees get criticized for, look, if you look at how the Rays won this series, it's because they hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
You know, so and the same thing when the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 in Tampa, and when the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 in Dunedin, the Blue Jays, you know, the Blue Jays out-homered them. So, you know, that's just sort of the way the game is played now. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just the way that the game is played. So I'm not sure that that's what ails the Yankees is necessarily their approach. It's the fact that, as you mentioned, top to bottom in this lineup, with a few, you know, exceptions maybe, you know, obviously Higashioka in his limited playing time is off to a good start. DJ LeMahieu, while not, you know, where he was last year, where he ended up winning the, you know, MLB batting title, but he's still, you know, 287, whatever. He's been okay, and Judge has had his moments. But, you know, really top to bottom, you know, this lineup has not done well. And it's, you know, one of those things where, yeah, I mean, I think that they look at themselves in the mirror and they believe that the, you know, all the fixes are right there in front of them in the clubhouse.
Bruce was not the answer. Odor, you know, was really cast aside by Texas. He lost his game there. Now he's had a couple of hits and made a difference in one particular game. But they don't really seem to be the answer over the course. Well, Bruce, of course, retired. But Odor, I don't know if that is the answer. We've seen, you know, different guys over there at first. We've seen a little bit with some different guys at second. We've seen, you know, when Urshela's not over there at third, we've seen DJ LeMahieu. And yet the one constant is one of the major problems defensively with Torres over at short. If he does not turn things around, can you see the Yankees possibly talking to Colorado about Trevor Story, who is going to be leaving as a free agent unless, of course, Colorado gets something for him? And you could see that with the four shortstops that are to become free agents, Baez and Seager and Correa and Story, that maybe the Yankees might be going after a Trevor Story who can hit and field his position.
Yeah, I mean, that's good barroom discussion, Steve. I'm not sure how realistic that is right now. I mean, Torres is still only 24 years old, and that would be some message to send that the Yankees would be giving up on him by making a deal like that, because DJ LeMahieu is certainly locked in as your second baseman for the next 6 years. I'm not sure where he would play, you know, if not at second. Because if Torres you're giving up on short, you're not going to shift him back to second where he played the previous couple of years, and including 1 year when he had 38 home runs. I think the Luke Voit injury has done more damage than maybe people initially thought they would do from a fielding standpoint, because you know, they had to shift guys around, you know, obviously with LeMahieu, you know, bouncing between, you know, first and occasionally third, whatever, and not playing his natural position, or as not as much, you know, second base. But, yeah, I mean, could I see something like that being pursued at the trade deadline this year? Only if either A, Torres was hurt, or B, he was just having an outright, you know, catastrophic season, both in the field and at the plate. And you can say, oh, well, he's certainly on his way to that. I'll come back with the 15 games thing and the fact that, look, this guy is still only 24 years old and has had a couple of really good seasons. And look, when Torres hit 38 home runs, you know, he was not exactly Robbie Cano at second base, but you didn't hear about that, any element of that, because he hit 38 home runs. The same way Gary Sanchez's defense didn't get nearly the attention in the public eye that it has the last couple of years when he was hitting 30 home runs a year. So it really, Steve, it all comes back with this club to the offense and the fact that what was supposed to be a strength going into spring training, during spring training, coming out of spring training, the one area of this team that was not questioned at all by anybody, including myself, was the offense. And it hasn't been there at all. And that has infiltrated every other element of this 2021 Yankees team.
Eric, before I let you go, would you, I mean, Devy Garcia, where is he? And Michael King, he doesn't have to come in as a reliever. I think they ought to give him a start. Give me your thoughts on those two.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly see both of those guys as starters. I think you're going to see Garcia probably sooner rather than later. Remember, with all the off days in April, you don't always need the full five-man staff. So, and it allows them to skip guys here and there to, control the innings, particularly with Tyone, which we've seen already once this year, and they'll do it with Kluber at some point, too. But, I think you're going to see Garcia sooner rather than later. And, I don't always agree with the opener concept with guys. I think certainly in the playoffs last year, the Yankees got too clever by half with that, with the Garcia half combination. Everyone remembers that backfired on the Yankees, but they've got smarter people than me that crunch the numbers and come up with those decisions collectively as an organization. I do know that pitchers by and large prefer, particularly guys that see themselves as starters, as Garcia does, as Michael King does, publicly they say all the right things, but they certainly, you ask them in a private moment, they say, give me the ball and turn me loose, whether that's for five innings, six innings, whatever. And I think both of those guys, if you gave them that opportunity, probably could be, quality starters in the big leagues. And, it's a very long season. And I think both of those guys are ultimately going to get more than a few opportunities to prove that as starting pitchers. Because, Steve, you know this, particularly coming off of the short season last year and the lack of innings that guys had, an average MLB team usually needs, an average of 8 to 10 starters to get through a season. You're going to see probably teams needing a lot more than that this year, including the Yankees, which means guys like King and Garcia are going to get their chances.
And Herman has been recalled, yes?
I have not. You're breaking news to me. I have not been on my email.
Okay. I thought I saw something about either he has been recalled or he's about to be recalled. I saw that yesterday.
It would not surprise me, because when they sent him down, obviously after his previous start, he wasn't going to be of any use to the Yankees in those days following, because he obviously would have thrown a certain number of pitchers that would have made him not an option to pitch. So you might as well bring up, protection, in case you get into a game where you need multiple relievers. And Boone made clear that them sending him down didn't mean that his days as a Yankee starter were over with. And the Yankees very much do believe that he can be a quality starter in the big leagues. And we did see that in 2019 when he won 19 games.
Yeah, and in spring training, I don't think he had an ERA, except maybe he gave up a run in his last start of spring training. He had a brilliant spring training, but not that kind of good luck, good fortune, when the season started. All right, so here we are, Eric, and I'll let you go. But the interesting thing is that most people cannot see. I mean, Yankee fans are ready to jump off the ledge. We understand all of that. They give a damn about their team. They don't like what they see. So it's not any surprise. We've all been there, no matter what team you root for and care about and invest emotionally in. But, again, emotion is going to take over so many times. when 15 games into the season, you just can't write off any team, and especially a team that has been very successful. I mean, the last couple of years with essentially the same people in their prime. So to hear you, Eric, you realize that some Yankee fans listening to you being rational and sensible and reasonable about the outlook of an entire season and what the Yankees might be able to do, you realize that some Yankee fans listening to you and me too are going to go bah humbug and not buy a single word you're trying to sell.
No, and I understand that. And look, let me be very clear about it. And I fight with a lot of people on Twitter on a daily basis, so I know exactly what you're saying. I love the passion of Yankee fans. I have a job because of the passion of Yankee fans. So I will never criticize the passion of Yankee fans. But it is my job as a reporter who does not care whether the Yankees win or lose to point out the facts. And the facts are that we're 15 games into a 162-game season. And I can tell you about as recently as 2019 when the Yankees started 6-9 and finished with 103 wins. Or in Aaron Boone's first year when they started 9-9 and won 100 games. I can go back to 2009, my first year covering the Yankees' last World Series winning team, when as late as the middle of May, they were 16-17 and everyone was jumping off roofs. And the Yankees, we all remember, won 103 games and won the World Series. So more often than not in my time covering the Yankees, they have gotten off to very underwhelming starts. And more often than not, actually pretty much every time, they win their usual 90-plus games, and oftentimes it's, you know, 95-plus or even 100-plus. So, you know, I think that sometimes perspective is needed, and you can give that perspective without being Pollyanna either. And in no way, shape, or form would I say that this 5-10 start is good or that there's any silver linings in it. And there are certainly things that if I was a Yankee fan that I would be concerned about. And, you know, I enunciated one of those earlier where, to me, the lackluster to borderline awful defense that has been played would be my biggest concern. I think it also is my job to lend some kind of factual perspective in these things, like I just mentioned some of these past seasons. And believe me, there's a lot more that I could reference to come back to the point that we are still just talking about 15 games.
Well, Eric, I will say this. You know, Yankee fans that call the radio station 24/7, definitely concerned about the defense, and, of course, does figure that someday the offense will be coming around. It really is the starting rotation that concerns, I believe, from callers and the listeners and all. They really think it's the starting rotation and the Achilles heels in that starting rotation, as we were talking before about Kluber. Yes, of late, not very good. Of Taillon, of late, not very good. So that is the concern as we speak right now. And Jordan Montgomery, you know, he's been so-so. And, again, some Yankee fans are missing Tanaka and so forth, and were yearning for Severino to get himself back. But at the moment, I think it's fair to say, from just what listeners and callers are talking about, it is that starting rotation after Cole. Eric, a million thanks for giving us a good half hour and then some. You're a pleasure to read and certainly a pleasure to have on. I look forward to the next time very soon.
Steve, you're too kind. You're a legend for a reason, and I always enjoy talking with you.
Great, Eric. Same here, and do take care. Eric Boland of Newsday forever and today, covering with the Yankees ever since starting in 2009. And he is an honest read, that's for sure. And as you heard him, pretty much, listen, we don't have to go over numbers, you know, with batting averages are the worst since this year and on-base percentage the worst since that year. It doesn't matter from those years, the frame of reference where the Yankees have gotten off to such a bad start after 15 games. It's what you can see with your eyes. But again, no feeling is final. So whether you're a fan of any team whether you are feeling just awful and just the worst, and you're mad and you're angry and you can't take it anymore being as mad as hell as you can be, no feeling is final, whether it's good or bad.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.